world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, first of all, good morning. I want to thank all of you for who tuned in last night for I sub in for Rob Pugh. Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Rob Pugh lets me sit in for him every once in a while, Wisconsin Christian News. I don't know how big the audience is and all that kind of stuff, but it's always an honor to be able to do it. I'm going to do it again. I think maybe it's next week. I got to look at my schedule, but last night, if you guys missed it, even if you didn't miss it, I had on my right-hand man, my friend that sticketh closer and a brother, Coach Norm Emmetts. And Spencer, maybe you can throw that up on the... So I sent it to you this morning. Loyalty until the end. That's my good buddy, Coach Norm. And it was really, really a good show. And he's kind of one of those behind-the-scenes guys that, you know, has always got your back no matter what the situation is. He has got your back. If you got a disagreement, we'll talk about it later, but he's got your back. And that's a rare guy. We had a really, really good show last night. And so loyalty to the end, the importance of loyalty, which really, man, I could camp there all day. I'm not going to. I want to think about, look at Jesus. Look at the Jesus. 12 disciples. And what did Jesus say at the end? Well, none of you stay awake with me. None of you? You mean none of you? All of you? And the reality is you can find out in your life, all of us will find out in our lives, that loyalty, for the most part, goes about as far as your comfort. Your comfort. See, what do you mean? Well, most people will support you until it gets uncomfortable for them. They'll support you until people are saying things about you and they have to defend you, and then they don't want to do that, right? And when you reach that point where, folks, Bible's clear. All of them deserted him. I can't find that in the scripture off the top of my head. All of them deserted. They all deserted Christ. All of them. All of them. Except John the Baptist, by the way. And John the Baptist was the one that Jesus didn't even go visit. John says, you mean I've been doing all that stuff for the Lord for all these times and I'm in jail? He don't even come and see me? And Jesus' response is pretty powerful. He said, you go tell John that the lame walk, blind see. He said, tell John, I really appreciate his loyalty. It meant more to me than what I can ever say. But I have to move on beyond this. And I appreciate it, John. And you'll never know how much I appreciated it. And you exercised your gift and you used your gift and you helped advance the kingdom. That was Jesus' message to John the Baptist. Cost John his life. He said, you've advanced the kingdom, brother. I'm sorry, I don't have time to come and visit you. You did your job. There's a reward waiting for you, right? And loyalty, man, boy, does it come and go, right? Loyalty comes and goes because, you know, the first, I learned this a long time ago. Early in my coaching career, I guess, in my adult career. Whenever you're introduced to somebody new, whether you go to a party, wherever you meet, somebody says, hey, Coach Dave, I'd like you to meet Adam here. Adam, I'd like you to meet, hey, Coach Dave, I'd like for you to meet Jared. And the first thing we always ask ourselves, now, come on now. When you go to meet this person is, what can they do for me? If I could just meet Sean Hannity, what could he do for me? That's the way most of us respond when we're introduced to what we would call famous people. We like to meet famous people because they're famous people, but at the heart of it is we wish we could get a good connection with them because they could do something for us. You understand that? in the relationship that Coach Norm and I have, and it's developed over a long period of time, is both of us. I ain't doing it for me. I'm doing it for him. It's an obligation I have as a friend. And it's a very rare quality. In fact, it's very, very rare, even in the church. But we shouldn't be surprised when people betray us, because at the end of the day, all of us are looking for an advantage or an approval from someone else. That's why we want to meet new people. Oh, could you introduce me to him? Are you? Because if you could introduce me to him, then maybe I can get up the ladder here a little bit. It's really it. It's really what it's about. And we see it everywhere. I'm just curious. You suppose there's any jealousy in big time Christianity? You suppose Franklin Graham and Joel Osteen get along? You suppose they go out and have a beer together? You suppose T.D. Fakes and Rick Warren, you suppose they go out and have, or do you think they're probably in competition with each other? And sadly, I would have to say probably in competition with each other, because if they weren't in competition with each other, they'd be working together. They'd be working together. It wouldn't be just Franklin Graham with, what do they call that, Samaritan's Purse. When a disaster hits down in North Carolina, it wouldn't just be Franklin Graham. Wouldn't T.D. Fake send somebody, and wouldn't Rick Warren send some people? And we say we don't play like that. We don't play like that, because in the system that we all live, it's all about me. It's all about me and what I can get out of it. And the greatest trait anybody can have is loyalty. Somebody who stands beside you through thick and thin and defends you. Now, that's not blind loyalty. That means if Coach Norm thought I was out of line, he would tell me. But he would tell me behind closed doors. He wouldn't tell his neighbor. He wouldn't tell all his buddy. He would come to me. He'd say, Coach, you know, you better, not sure about that. Why? Because he wanted what was best for me. He wanted what was best for me. And I wanted what was best for him. And the only way we ever really advance the ball, the whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the only way that we ever really advance the ball is if even different pastors are in it for their buddy. What if pastors did everything they could to build their friend's ministry? What would that be like? Oh, yeah, you got to go to Joe's church. You would be perfect at Joe's church. No. It's about building our own kingdoms. We all live that way. I'm not being critical. We all live that way. And we just have to come to the realization that we do. And Coach Norm and I, pull that up there real quick. Spencer, if you could, you had it up on the screen there. Just that's my mother, brother from another mother right there. And the stuff that he's done behind the scenes that others will never know for my family, and things that we've done for his family will never be measured. Because why? Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, I am. I am. I would never, ever, ever, ever call Norm and take advantage of his goodness to advance what I want. I would never do that. I would never do that. And he would never do that to me. So when you get into a real relationship, like with your wife, with my wife and I would do anything for her. I don't always agree with it. But if it matters to her, I would do it for her. And can I tell you this? She'd do it for me, even if it's uncomfortable. Why? So that's what relationships and loyalty and everything is all about. And at the heart of it all, folks, when you see a good football team, a great football team, you better know this. There ain't much fighting or jealousy going on that team. Just ain't very much of it. Because you won't block for somebody you don't like. You won't block for a prima donna. You won't do it. You won't do it. And if you haven't had the opportunity to see this last, y'all to watch it. It's really, really good. And again, I thank all of you that when I sit in for Rob, see, Rob normally does a straight interview. But I'm always of the opinion when I'm watching a show, I'm thinking, damn, I'd like to ask the guy this. I like the interaction. Church is no interaction in church. You go sit there and the guy talks. You sit there and the pastor preaches and you go home. Interaction is important because I've always figured this. If somebody has a question, we're in a group. Let's say I got a group of 50 people in the room, and somebody has a question. He's not the only one. He's not the only one thinking that. And the only way that that kind of stuff gets handled is somebody's got to bring it up. Dialogue, back and forth, debate. If I was ever to pastor a church, the last thing I would do, I'm just telling you, the last thing I would do is go in and give a lecture. I'd ask, what do you think? Hey, I just read this. What do you think? What do you think about that? How does it impact you? It's the give and take. It's not the lecturing. It's a give and take. And Coach Norm and I, Mark Collier, I could go some other way. That's been our relationship forever. And Norm knows that I got his back. And I know he's got mine. I know that he will defend my family as much as he'll defend his own. And I would do the same likewise. So much of what we're dealing with is woundedness by what we think are our brothers in Christ. And they're not really your brother in Christ. A lot of them are buddying up to you for what you can do for them. I have people who think, boy, if I can just get friends with Coach Dave, then, man, then maybe this will happen. Well, that's the wrong attitude. I promise you, that's wrong attitude. I don't mean to labor on that. Coach Noy, he's one of a kind, man. He's one of a kind. I got to tell a joke on him, story on him. Norm, it would not be unusual at all for Coach Norm to lose 60 pounds a year. He'd say, what do you mean? Because he's so high energy, he would gain 60 pounds and then he would lose it. But as long as I've known him, gain 60, lose. What kind of discipline does it take to lose 60 pounds? Well, that's Coach E. Put that in the chat and I would encourage all of you, if you get a chance, when you get a chance to watch the interview. I want to throw something. This is sensitive. I got to talk about it. Okay. I want you guys, people think I'm getting rich doing it. I don't know why they think I'm doing it. Right. This is just for what it's worth. I got my bill for this show. I do a show every morning, 5 days a week. Jared and Spencer, they produce it. All the text, my web guy. And so I got the bill. I just want you guys to know that before, I want you to see this. Spencer, throw that up there. Here's my bill from All the Tech. This, in order to do this show, it cost me, what's that number down there at the bottom? 3,000. I can't really read, my eyes aren't any good. 3,390, is that what it says? That's my bill. I happily pay my bill, $3,398.86. And sometimes, can't you guys send in 10 bucks? Can't you send in 10 bucks? Help me with this bill. Every month I have that at this, right? We don't have any sponsors, no commercials, nothing, right? Slide down there a little bit so they see what it's all going for, Spencer, okay? I'm happy to pay it, by the way. And I'm behind because I always tell Spencer I'm going to send you $5 and don't always do it. There it is. Monthly retainer, $2,800. Word processing, $80. I don't even know what that stuff means. But every month, in order to do Coach Dave Live, before I say one word, it's $3,300. Almost $3,400. Help us out, will you? $10. Everybody out there, if everybody spread the wealth around, everybody just went online and gave $10 a month, we'd be rolling. Okay, got that set. People say, how you do it? Spencer, show them how do they do it online? If they want to give online. I don't have any commercials. I don't beg you for money. I ain't begging you for money. You see what our expenses are. Right there. You go right there and you can do it online. Put it in the chat, Spencer. Do it right online if you want to. Or you can mail us a $10 check. It's all good. It's all good. Okay. Let me see where I want to go here. Where do I want to go? Here's where I want to go. I said that. Hey, friends. Listen, Dr. Paul Goslin needs some help. He'll never say it. You know what they did to him, right? You know what they did? They shot him, right? It took his medical license away from him. I've got a hiccup, sorry. Send him a birthday, as Jack said, send him a birthday card and some cash. Would you do that for him? I don't know where Paul is financially. I know they've done everything to destroy his medical business. I know that they've sued. I know he's got medical expenses. He's got legal expenses. And right now, if you called Paul Goslin right now, Dr. Paul, he would give you free medical advice. That's the kind of guy he is. But the truth is, Dude's been hit with some bills, man. Been hit with some bills. And so I don't know, Paul. I'm not trying to embarrass you, Paul. Who would they write a check to, Paul? How would they get you some money? I know you don't want it, but if they just wanted to give you some, how would they do it, Paul?
Coach, I don't know how to explain this, but I've always asked for prayers, and it works out better than money, right?
Yeah, that's right. But you do need legal bills. You got a lot. You're dealing with a lot. I know you are.
Well, I'm kind of retired mentally, physically right now. Right. But I'm trying to get my license back. But the point is, the prayers have always worked, Coach.
Yep.
I don't know how else to explain it, but there's a certain amount of truth to that. And
how about we pray people send you money? How about that? Would that be good? Let's pray people sending some money. Huh?
Tell you what, you send money to an anti-baby killing thing, and that will suffice it for me, Coach. Uh-huh. Honestly,
amen. But I think Paul,
and I do appreciate it, Coach. I just need a forum for people to see the story, and you've been helping me with that, right?
Doing the best I can. But at the same time, expenses. Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
We can put it in the chat. Where would they donate? Or send you a $20 retainer for your doctor's advice. Where would they send that? Well, there, David Arthur just put his Venmo in there. I don't even know how to do Venmo. I don't even know what the hell that means. Who would they make a check to, Paul?
I don't know. Some pro-life thing, Coach. To be honest,
No. We wanted to go to you. People wanted to go to you,
Coach. I have the state of Maine revenue service after me. So
are you kidding?
Any money? No. And the reason for that is they never paid me for all the patients I saw, and when I lost my home and my office because the state of Maine didn't pay me because I was taking care of their Medicare. They charged me. The IRS forgave me, but the state of Maine, which is demonic, is coming after me. So money's not going to help right now.
Okay.
But prayers are going to help.
Prayers for Paul. Okay. And, oh, man. The devil's real, isn't he, folks? Devil's real. Patriot Health, is that what it is, Paul? Patriot Health, is that your business?
It's a Q Patriot Health. Still my medical thing. You know, I have to say, the only thing I kind of regret is not being able to take care of people. It's extremely fulfilling. And when you lose purpose in your life like that, that's the toughest thing, Coach. So, folks,
here's what I'm saying, and though this is probably not legal or whatever, friends, put Paul on retainer. Just send him some money, and if you have a medical question, then you can call him and say, Paul, what should I do about this? Although maybe he's not allowed to give medical advice. As a friend, he would be able to tell you, maybe you ought to do this, and maybe you shouldn't do that. And he won't say it. This guy's in financial need, folks. They're suing him. He's got medical bills. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. And I can't get him. Jared, maybe you can sneak it in there where people would be able to go to dump some money in there, put him on retainer. I know, Paul. I know you got IRS issues. I get it. At the same time, you got to eat. Got to eat. Cool. All right. We hate talking about money. You know why we hate talking about money? Because we all love it. And we don't have enough of it. The Venmo is in the show notes. Thanks, producer. Thanks. The Venmo, I don't even know how to do Venmo, but it is what it is. It is. Not trying to screw you up. Paul, trying to help you, man. Boom. Okay, here's where I want to go this morning. You know me, I try to go a lot of different directions. Why don't we care about lying anymore? Why doesn't lying bother us anymore? Why do we allow politicians to lie to us? It doesn't bother us anymore. In fact, we joke about it. We say, oh, he's a politician. They all lie. Why would we knowingly elect liars to office? Could it be because we all do it? Could that be it? That we live in a culture and we live in a society where everybody lies. Everybody lies. Well, I want you to know, I try not to, unless the lie protects somebody. If some burglar came to my house, wanted to know where my wife was, I'd lie to him. I'd say, she's not here. She ain't here. Because the purpose of lying, the reason we have the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. Listen, the Ten Commandments do not say thou shalt not lie. It says thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, meaning don't lie if it harms them. As crazy as this might sound to you, friends, it's okay to lie if you're protecting them. Bear false witness is not just blanket lying. They're not the same. What kind of guy would not lie to protect his family? What kind of person would, huh? If the Muslims showed up, I don't know how I use Muslims. Somebody showed up at my door and they were going to attack my family. Damn right I'd lie. No, it's not lying because it's protective, see. But so many people lie, we don't even care about it anymore. We don't even care. Oh, he's lying. He's a politician. Oh, he's lying. Really? How long would you in your personal life work and trust for a liar? In your personal, don't you get mad in your personal life when somebody lies to you? Did you ever say to your child, don't you lie to me? Well, why do we allow people in positions of authority to lie to us? Why is that okay? I'm going to show you a couple things here real quick. It's called propaganda. Say, Spencer, look that word up real quick. It's what we're dealing with everywhere you look. Propaganda. We're in the election season. It's all propaganda. And propaganda is, according to Webster, you can't even find it, propaganda, huh? Propagandism, try that one. Propagandist is what? To continue or multiply the kind by generation now, to spread, to extend, to impel, or continue for, no. Propaganda, that must propagate. It must be propagate. Yeah, it's propagate. Propaganda, I can't believe that word's not there. Do propagandist, maybe that'll do it for us. Is a person who devotes himself to the spread of any system of principles. Hey, tell you this. A lot of propaganda in Christianity. Yep. Now, I can make the argument, would get me really mad with a lot of pastors out there. I don't care. Tithing is not a New Testament principle. Tithing is not a New Testament principle. Yet they all preach tithing. Why? Because, hey, cost me $3,700 a month just to run this show. I need money. Why? Should I just say to you, hey, dude, I need money. I need money. Wouldn't that be better if I just said, I need money, rather than to say to you, well, you have to tithe there. Huh? Oh, you're disobeying God. If you don't give, you're not giving to Coach Dave, you're disobeying God. No. You give out of the abundance of your heart. You give because you want to give. You give because you want to support. It's not duty. If you're giving me $10 a month out of duty, give it to somebody else. Duty. Tithing. You got to give 10% to the church so you can be blessed, because God's watching to see if you give the 10% to the church. What? The hell are you talking about? And by the way, the tithe was food. Can you believe that out? Tithe, where is that? Malachi, is that, where's the, bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there would be meat in my house, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Shall not be room enough to contain. Where is that? Where's the tithing verse? Because why? Malachi, thank you. Yeah. Old Testament, by the way. Old Testament. Bring all the tithes, starts about 12. Bring ye, go back up, go. Look, don't tithe here. If you don't want to give here, don't give here, all right? Don't tithe. Will man rob God? Yeah, you've robbed me, but you say, where? How we robbed you? He says, well, in tithes and offerings, Old Testament. you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? So there'll be meat in my house. Yeah, what do they mean? Meat. Meat. Food. They fed people. Church fed people. They came, there wasn't any welfare system. The church fed people. Meat in my house. Meat. Not smoke machines. Not I can show you right now. I can show you right here locally. A church online advertising for a worship leader. $30,000 a year. Worship leader. So you have to have tithes to pay the worship leader. Get it? And so they've told us, tithe, tithe, tithe. Bring it. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to be. In other words, the only way you get money is you give. And when you give, the Lord sees you give, and he gives back. That's what they teach us in church, right? Isn't that what they teach you? Huh? Yeah, if you give, then he gives. You don't give, he don't give. Well, I don't look. I give. We give a lot. Oh, we give a lot here, Coach Dave. We give a lot here. Why? Because people need it. I don't check and see if they tithe here. Do you pay $10? No, we see a need. Hey, some of you could testify out there of the needs that we've met here. Look, I'm not talking about money. Relax. I'm not talking about money. Who do you think is going to meet some of these needs that we have in this crew here? I don't ask you for tithe. Just donate. Donate. Help us keep doing what we're doing. Anyway, it says he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake and shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. It was about feeding people, not smoke machines and salaries and $30,000 for a praise and worship leader. I'm gonna make some of you mad here. Huh? Be a cheerful giver. Give, will you? Give. You just give. And then we get people here where it's like, well, who's paying Coach Dave? Who's the real money behind Coach Dave? Ain't nobody. Ain't nobody. It's you. It's all of you. Look, I'm not worried about money. I know we hate talking about it. I know we hate talking about it. But you see what the need is here. And we just ask some of you, quit mooching. Help us $10 a month. Make a big difference. Mark Trump, come on in.
You mentioned that churches think they're going to get the windows of heaven to open.
Yeah.
The last time that happened, it flooded. They better be careful making comments like that, Coach.
That's right. By the way, you think God's going to say, oh, you gave me 10% of your money, but you didn't do anything about the aborted babies, huh? You're going to buy me off? Give me 10% and that'll buy me off. No. Judgment begins first at the house of God. And I'm going to tell you something. The church doesn't care about abortion. They don't care about abortion. Betty, come on in.
Yes. You know, you could just be like a Paula White. Hey, if 10 people would just come up here and give $100,000 yep. each, God yep. will bless you. So yep. I've always noticed the most riches and the people that have money and have nice super cars and whatever, they're the most stingiest people I've ever met. Amen. Those who live in paycheck by paycheck, like I and most of us do, we're the big, and not to brag, but I would give my last dime to you to keep you on there.
Well, I know you would, Betty. I think, and see, people are getting nervous right now because we're talking about money. They're getting nervous right now. I'm going to stop talking about money. Do you understand the joy? So I'm not patting myself on the back. I've told you this before. Sometimes I go to Kroger and there'll be some lady there and got a child one arm and I got pushing a stroller and she's got something on there and I say, hey, let me cover that for you. I'll cover that for you. She looks at me, what? Huh? Well, say, hey, let's do this. Hey, I'll get my church to cover it for you, okay? I tithe to my church and I'll get them to send you a few bucks. No. Ain't the way it works. Lord loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful. I'm not trying to twist your arm to give money. I'm really not. I just think it's important for we to understand. Do you have any idea how much free service I've gotten from Paul Goslin? Have any idea? Hey, Paul, what about this? What about that? He doesn't send me a bill. He just tells me. He just tells me, do this. This is what I'd do, and this is what I wouldn't do. He doesn't send me a bill. And I got to go to my naturopath today. By the way, my this battle I've been having my gout. I think I'm winning. I told Michelle today, man, I woke up today, I can actually move all my joints. So I'm going to go see my naturopath, see him today. And by the way, he'll charge me. I guess that's my tithe. Right? I'll give him a tithe. No. Pain. Relax out there. Go ahead, Lauren. Lauren, come on in.
Some of the tensions. Sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, I just want to
get some of the stingiest people I know are Christians. Can I say that? Some of the stingiest people I know are Christians. Go ahead, Lauren.
Well, and they're also they're nuts. But I just like I want to give a testimony. I mean, like the tithing and everything, and it's not even tithing, the giving and the hearts of all the prayers I've had for support, all the small things like with what Claudine and Betty and others have done. And they're not, there's no spotlight, there's no platform. And everybody who helped me out with my car, I can't tell you the gift that it was given, but you're giving to the Lord, you're investing into the Lord, and you're showing up and doing what he just asked you to do, like take care of one another. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the gift that you give, is you take care of one another, you know, right. And giving is also showing up, sending a text message, you know, hey, I got you, you know, you're on my heart. You're not alone. You matter. Paul Gosselin matters. What's going on with Paul Gosselin is he's got an army behind him.
Amen.
Because you and Michelle, your battle buddy, stood with you. Held up your arms when you couldn't hold them up anymore. And Coach Norm was on the other side of it.
Amen.
Holding you up, right?
Wasn't my church.
No. It's your team.
Yep.
You know, he said, I want you to be your team. This is your team. Your assistant coach is your wife. And then you maneuver everybody else to learn different positions. Mm-hmm. And you encourage. And if somebody doesn't like it, too bad. I mean, you're not responsible for how they receive the message. If they're being convicted, then they're being convicted. But publicly, I want to testify to the thankfulness and the giving, because I've been on that end of it. And then my daughter has in the background, because for the last 6 years, my daughter, who doesn't have a dad and doesn't have aunts and uncles and cousins, has got people here on this team that's impacted her life, and her mom's not as crazy as she thought she was. You know, so yeah. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Yes. Hey, Lauren, you know what I have? Listen, folks, I'm not beating you up on money. I'm trying to get you set free. Okay. I can't tell you the number of people that saw a need and would say to me, I'll see if my church can help. And they don't dig in their own pocket. See, we've been trained that the real government is the church. You give your money to the church, and then the church gives the money out as they deem necessary. Now, trust but verify. You got to be smart enough to figure out when somebody's running a scam on you. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But at the same time, you'll never build a relationship with somebody deeper than when you help meet their financial need. I'm just going to tell you something. The greatest pressure most of us come under is financial. Look, I'm not bragging, okay? I've seen young women, young mothers, cry at Kroger's when I paid a $20 bill for them with my cross hat on. I didn't say, I'll call my pastor and see if there's any money in the benevolence fund that we can help you out with here. Given it shall be given unto you, heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I'm not trying to get money. I don't know how I got all money, and we'll get off of it here, okay? But you understand what I'm talking about here. By the way, Lauren, thank you for letting us know about the car, because I had a couple of people ask me if you'd gotten one. So God bless you. Appreciate you. Friends, look, here's where it is. This is the way I feel. When I give the money, I gave it. What they do with it is their responsibility. But if I find out they abused it, if I find out they abused it, they ain't getting any more. So, you understand? So that's kind of the way I live. If they need it, I'm going to give it. If they misuse it, I ain't giving them more. You can talk to Michelle about that. Any reason I said that, just yesterday, 2 days ago, we got some lady, single mom, didn't have any money. Well, I didn't take it to the elder board. I didn't see how she's spending it. We met the need. You met the need. Yeah, well, let me say it again. You met the need. Why? Because there was meat in the house. And we were able to do it. I don't know how we got talking about money. That's not what I want to talk about, okay? That's really not what I want to talk about. Here's what I want to talk about. Pull up number 4. Now, folks, this might be a little bit vulgar, and I don't mean it to be vulgar. Adam Carolla. You know, sometimes it's amazing to me how the lost world sees things better than the found world. Adam Carolla, pardon, I think they beep out the foul language, but he uses some bad words, okay? Hold your ears. Go ahead.
This is the era we're living in. You get some sort of official, some person in a position, right?
Yep.
And then you get the bullshit from them, and then you get to go up on the debate stage or in front of CNN or whoever it is, and you get to say, our FBI director says white supremacy is the biggest problem that this country faces. You think he's a liar? 31 years in the business? You know, yes, that's where we're living right now.
What is it? It's a scam.
It's Joe Biden getting up there. He's debating with Trump, and he goes, 51 intelligence experts say that laptop had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. Those are 51 experts, a total of 5,000 years in the intelligence agency. And they said, this is where we're at. This is exactly where we're at. The epidemiologist, the intelligence expert, the judge, the lawyer, he said, she said, Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC, said it wasn't safe. You think you know more than the head of the CDC? I do know more if she's lying. Yes, I know more. I know more with my junior college education than Rochelle Walensky and Anthony Fauci put together. If they're lying, then now I become the expert. Because I'm not lying.
That is so true, isn't it? It is so true. They're experts, and they lie to us, and they become experts because they lie to us. another one. Let me give you another one here, right? Joe Rogan. Folks, I don't know this. Adam Carolla, I'm guessing, ain't saved. I'm just guessing. Probably isn't. Joe Rogan, by the way, has received Christ, from what I understand. Was baptized, from what I understand. He's hard, though. He's a hard, hard character, right? Okay. This is what Joe Rogan has to say here. Folks, it's about lying. Nobody, it doesn't bother anybody anymore when they get lied to. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother us when we lie to people. Why do we lie to them? We don't want to offend them. Wow. Thou shalt not bear false witness that's going to harm your neighbor. You lie to him to make him feel better, but ultimately it's a noose around their neck. Tell them the truth. People say, speak the truth in love. Friends, truth is love. Love is truth. I learned it in my coaching career. I didn't have time to tell the boys how much I loved them as I was telling them what to do. Their job was to obey. You understand? And now we want to rationalize and rub them on the back and tell them how brave they are. When, hey, the reality of it is, if you stop doing half the crap you did, your life would get better. Stop doing that and that and that and that and that and that, and your life will get better. But see, we don't want to say that. I'll pray for you. Yeah, I'll pray that you quit drinking that damn beer. I'll pray that you lose 20 pounds, you fat ass. I'll pray that. But we don't want to talk like that, do we? Somehow, somewhere along the line, coaching, harsh coaching outside of sports went on the wayside, went by the wayside. Not allowed to do it anymore. Share the truth in love. Oh, yeah? Here's the truth. You're going to have a heart attack and die because you don't ever exercise. You got a big gut. And then Pearson leaves the church because they don't want to hear the truth. They'll go someplace where somebody will tell them how pretty they look. Anyway, go ahead. Joe Rogan, go ahead.
COVID woke people up. And I know everyone knows who Joe Rogan is, right? He had the number one podcast for years after COVID because he asked the hard questions. And in this video, he talks about how he used to mock anti-vaxxers. Now, I'm with these two in this video. Watch this.
Until this COVID epidemic, I would have never questioned it. I mocked anti-vaxxers. I was like, these people are silly. Don't they know all the good things that vaccines have done? And the blatant propaganda that we were force-fed, it just made me stop and pause and go, is the whole thing like this? Why would I assume that this is the one area where pharmaceutical drug companies, doctors, everybody's been totally honest in this one area? When it's like a religious thing, if you question it, and I love the title of your book.
Yes, vaccines, amen.
Yeah,
the religion of vaccines.
That's what it is. It's a religion for secular, intelligent people with a higher education.
It causes incredible cognitive dissonance for anybody out there to come to the conclusion that the CDC and the FDA and our public health authorities and what the entire medical establishment has been telling you may not be accurate about vaccines.
Freeze it. Who told you that? And why do you believe them? Go ahead.
Vaccines really sit in their own little universe. They're unlike any other medical product. They're not like penicillin. They're not like any other drugs. They're not like any other product out there. Any other product in this room, anything out there, for one major reason. Every other product that exists, I can sue the company. I can hold them accountable. If that product injures or kills you or your child on the basis that product could have been safer. The only product, and I mean this literally, the only product in America where you cannot sue to say, had you made that product safer, my child wouldn't be dead. My child wouldn't be seriously injured. They wouldn't have a neurological disorder. They wouldn't have immunological disorder. They wouldn't have a nervous system disorder. They wouldn't have a cardiac issue. Our childhood vaccines and child vaccines used by adults.
I agree with Aaron Seary here that it is.
You get that? The medical system can lie with immunity. The drug companies can lie with immunity. No consequences to it. So if we can do selective lying, if they can lie, why can't I lie? And that's where we end up kind of where we are. David Arthur, come on in.
You know, Coach, it's when you talk about like the truth and being real with people, it's important because now that I'm doing so much outreach, the groups that go out there from all of these other churches, they go out there and they hand out stuff and they just say, oh, I'll pray for you, and then they go to the next person, and there's no real bonds, there's no, you know, they're not trying to establish a relationship.
They like it, David, they like it that way because there's no accountability. They share the gospel and move on. Go ahead.
And they go out, and that's what they do. They walk around looking for them to walk to them, and so, oh, don't get up, I got you. So when I pull up, I open the back and I say, if you're hungry, come and get it. And then they come and they say, oh, well, can I get one for my friend? No, tell your friend to get up off his butt and come and get it.
Amen. That's right. So
and just the other day we had a girl. She says, can I get one for my partner? I was like, no, tell him to come and get it. She said, well, she's a she. I said, well, then tell her to get up off her ass and come get it. And she says, oh, I thought you're being anti-gay. I said, no, I said, I'm anti-lazy. I said, that's what I am. I says, I'm anti-lazy. If you want it, you get up and you come and get it. And so many people in the last couple months have said to me, thank you so much for, they get in the line and they say, oh, and they tell their friend on the phone, nope, I can't get yours. You got to come get it yourself. you know, and because yep. they know. And it's, so it's like we're out there actually establishing relationships with people. I sit with people. I go out there and sit under the tree with this one old lady and she hugs me and says, I love you. No one ever talks to me, you know. And so it's that's how we can teach them how to fish. Right. People say, oh, you can't just give them the fish. They have to learn how to fish. Well, you can't teach them anything if you don't establish a bond with them. But you're not going to establish a bond with them if you're lying to them or if you're just trying to look
David,
good.
David, we don't care about lying anymore. It doesn't matter
no,
to us.
They want to be do-gooders instead right. of just being the hands and feet of the Christ. And,
that's right.
You
that's
know, it's just huh? about honesty. That's it.
We don't expect honesty. We don't expect... There are people watching right now who wonder if I'm a shyster. Why? Because so many pastors are.
We've gotten such a bad name.
David.
Christians in name only.
$3,000 a month to be worship leader.
Yeah.
I could show you. I could show you the Facebook ad. $3,000. 36
and you know what?
And David, it even says part time. It's part time. Won't take much up of your time. It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah. And you know what, Coach? I'm blessed to be right where I'm at this moment because the Mansion Church does all of the things that all the other churches don't do.
Mm.
You know, the pastor of the church, he's running for city council. He doesn't do the tithing thing. People give. Everything is covered. He's always giving. It's give, give, give. Help, help, help. But it's also discipleship. And you have to learn how to work. You have to learn how to, you know, get clean. You have to do all of these things in order to succeed in life. Mm-hmm. And so it's a blessing. It really is to get out there and do what I believe we should be doing in the manner in which we should be doing it, not like it has been done, because obviously it hasn't worked. They're passing out needles. We have a group of church ladies that actually went, and they're not, and I say church ladies, not Christians, they're church ladies. They went out and gave a man a beer so that he wouldn't get sick from drinking cooking wine. She says, but you'll get sick from drinking that. He said, well, it's all I could get because I only have food stamps. She says, well, I can't hold on. I'll go get you a beer. You give me that. This is what they're doing. Enabling.
Amen. It's not funny, but it's funny. Spencer Pull-Up quotes. I got this morning from Christopher, and that both of them were just really, really good. And I thought I would share. I don't know if you can make it big. I'm going to read it off my sheet here. Maybe you can make it a little bit better. This Christopher sent me the day. R.J. Rushdoony. I don't know if you know him. He's a theologian. He said the situation today is what it is, not because we have social problems, nor because we have evil in our midst. The problem is that the godly are in retreat. Retreat from action and therefore from godliness. The problem is us. And then the son of the serpent speaks again and says, the first stratagem, this is, by the way, this was by Gramsci, Italian Marxist, Antonio Gramsci, said, the first stratagem was the assault on Christianity by arguing religion should not inform or be employed in the public discourse. Now, somebody help me out. Would that be the anthem of many of our people standing in the pulpit? Christianity, religion should not inform or be employed in the public discourse. We don't mix religion and government. We don't mix the two here. We keep our hands off of that. We're the salt of the church, not the salt of the world. Come on in, Jack.
Wow, that's a very telling quote, isn't it? Holy
it is.
Christmas.
Yep.
I mentioned the other day that I was going back onto your subject of the lies, the lies that we believe in. It's just the twisting. The Leviathan is twisting, right? And I told you the other day that I got a contact from a CNN reporter. Well, I also got a contact from another local reporter to help, and I started doing a little bit of digging that I haven't done in quite a long time. And don't you know, I was stunned that this reporter that from CNN, some of the stuff that he wrote about us was horrible that I never saw before. Didn't care. What do I care what he says? But he's asking me for some help. And this was my response. Yes, I recall you. I finally did. I didn't respond to him at all because I wasn't going to give him even that. But I said, yes, as I recall you as the author of Swill on many occasions, disparaging good people, twisting words and logic to your demonic agenda. Nice to hear from you, Jack McCarthy. But I couldn't believe what he did was he went back to a 2011 show that we did with Roy Moore. In 2017, he did this to disparage Roy Moore from 2011. And he took everything that Roy and we talked about and twisted it into an absolute lie.
Out of context. It happens to me all the time.
All the time. And then I went and saw some of the other stuff that this guy did, which made me start looking at some of our old stuff. So some of our old stuff was really good because they hate us.
They sure do.
Nice to hear from you, jerk.
Jack, you're ahead of the crowd, man. We know that. Dave Allison or Sherry, you're both welcome. Come on in. Whoop, we lost you. Johnny, he hit the wrong button. Go ahead, Johnny.
Thank you, Coach. You know, there's something to be said for the Industrial Revolution and where it's gotten us today with technology. Mm-hmm. And I put this in relevance with God. Is that when I drive around out here, I'm so blessed to be able to drive. I got the greatest office seat you could ever ask for. But I see old farm equipment, and I grew up on a farm. And I remember when I was a kid and how we used to bale hay, how we used to plant things. And there's something to be said for the way technology has increased to the point where we are so spoiled that we can't appreciate. How much fun was it when you were a kid when UPS came to the door and everybody's eyes lit up because a package showed up at the door?
Right.
And now it's just like you can't get rid of them. They're like flies. Go away. So when I look at an old McCormick bee sitting out in the field, I think that's God. That's God. We used them and we just let them out there.
We got
everything we need now. And until we fall on our face, this is just going to continue to happen.
The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Right?
So I don't know what the point of all that is, but yep. I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yep. Secular and sacred. They divided the two, folks. Secular and sacred. As if God is not in control of the secular. That's been our fault. Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah.
Dave, let's try you again, Dave.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So, Coach, you made a comment there, and it kind of struck a nerve with me about you were complaining about the worship leader making $3,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
I was that guy. But I wasn't paid anything. But I was a worship leader, and I put twice as much time in the worship, leading the worship team than the pastor did for his sermon on Sunday morning. I can tell you that right now. Because you don't understand, as the worship leader, Coach, I'm just going to tell you, you don't understand how much time it takes. It's like you're the coach, right? You have to bring all the musicians together. You have to get all the music together. You have to bring them together. You have to practice. You have to get there early on Sunday morning, set up all the equipment, do a sound check, blah, blah, blah. Then afterwards, you got to tear equipment down, blah, blah, blah. It's actually a pretty demanding job. Here's the problem, Coach, I have, and I think this is maybe what we should be talking about. It's not so much paying the guy the $3,000. It's what we're asking him to do. And it's not so much be a worship leader. It's asking him to be the entertainment leader.
That's my point.
See, that's the problem right there.
Yes, that's right.
That's the problem. So it can be a very demanding job. And actually, if you're doing it right and whatever, well, if let's put it this way, if you're doing it the way the church wants you to do it, right, it's very demanding. And obviously the worship leader is probably the most controversial guy in the church because he can't satisfy anybody. Right, so he takes a lot of heat because he never sings the right songs. He never does this, whatever. So anyways, but Coach, back to the money. It's okay talking about money. It's okay because it's a sore point in our because of our idolatry, right?
That's right. That's right.
We don't want to face it. It's like a lot of other things. We don't want to face abortions. We don't want to face abortion. So, Coach, I asked the Lord the story of the prodigal son is about money. That's about money.
Hmm.
And the guy told his father, "I want my inheritance right now."
Well, that's right.
And that's what he said, right? So he said, "Okay, fine. Here you go. Take it. Run with it." And where did it go? It led him in the pig pen. So, Coach, I asked the Lord, "Lord, how am I the prodigal?" And he answered me. He said, "David, when you take the blessings that I gave you to promote the kingdom and you spend it on yourself, you're spending your inheritance."
Wow.
So you got your inheritance.
You got it now. You're spending it now.
You got it now. Don't look for anything down the road. And that was very profound, Coach, and that hurt. And here's the problem, and this is going to hurt even more. Some of us are in the pig pen and we're actually sitting in a building we call the church, and we don't, but it looks good and it smells good.
Yep.
We don't realize we're in a pig pen. And I don't want to, Coach, I'm like you. I'm not saying that about all churches, but there are some that are that way. They are spending their inheritance now here on the face of the earth, and they're not promoting the kingdom of God. Thanks for
Dave, if they were promoting the kingdom of God, the American society would not look what it looks like. That's the way that I see it.
Absolutely, Coach. And that's why I say, since I really started becoming kingdom-minded, I realized that my ministry, like you say, when you go out there in the grocery store, when you're in the restaurant, when you're on the street, you see somebody, you know, and you're able to share the love of God and provide some kind of financial need for them, I feel I'm getting way more bang for my buck than I ever gave. I'm sorry. That's the honest God truth.
Amen. We got to take a good self-evaluation, don't we? I got a rule here, Dave. I've got just 3 minutes. I want to get Mr. Numbers in here. Come on in, Craig.
Well, this ties in David and Johnny. You know, Coach, back in the 70s, they had these TV dinners, and you literally had to go to the store, buy them. Then you had to put them in a conventional oven and wait 20 minutes.
Imagine? Like those, by the way. I still like those. Go ahead.
I know, man. They had the little cherry dessert. Yep. My mom would get them. You know what? Yep. You know, do you know how hard that was then, Coach? It was really difficult. And then, you know, we went to this thing where you got in your car now, and you went in your air-conditioned car with wipers so you didn't get wet, and you actually had to go to a restaurant and order a dinner and then wait on it. Oh,
drive through.
Now, do you know what we got now? We got DoorDash. You don't do anything. So should we be surprised that these people that David says, like, well, can't you just deliver it to my home?
Christian DoorDash, huh?
can't you deliver to the tent over here in the, you know, in the woods?
Wow.
This we are the most spoiled, lazy generation.
Yep.
And we think the blessings of God are going to flow to us for what?
Well, Dave,
what's our argument in the courts of heaven?
Well, we think our blessing is an easy life. That's what they've convinced us of. That's the blessing, the easy life. The rewards are in the next world, folks. It's in the next world. And your easy life and my easy life is what's leading people to hell. Right? Good here. Oh, I'm good here. Boy, oh boy, it's good. Great. That's a great perspective. It's a great perspective, Craig, because that's where it is. Hey, look, I got about a minute left here. I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to tell you, I can't do anything about it. You say what? Because my precious wife says to me all the time, "Honey, you say the same thing every day." I know. Because at some point we got to wake up and realize that the problem isn't that other guy. The problem is me. The problem isn't the church down the road. The problem is my church. That's the problem. It's so easy to say we're in the mess we're in because so-and-so did this. We wouldn't have so many poor people if the government wasn't doing this. We wouldn't have so... any of it be a consequence of murdering babies? Would that be any possibility of the judgment? Because judgment begins first at the house of God. And if it didn't begin at the house of God, where the heck are we? It's 8 o'clock. I got to run. See you tomorrow.